Hi, my name's Mason, and we'll be discussing urea and drainage ditches. The use of nitrogen fertilizer has increased dramatically over the last century, and of that, the proportion urea has increased over the past several decades. At the same time, we've seen an increase in the frequency and severity of harmful algae blooms in coastal waters. This is due to the nitrogen loading, but we're concerned with urea nitrogen in particular because some phytoplankton species exploit urea better than inorganic nitrogen, and this could force negative changes in the phytoplankton community structure, especially it could trigger harmful algae blooms. In fact, some harmful algae species have been shown to grow faster on urea or produce more toxins. And high urea concentrations have been measured in tributaries to sensitive waters like the Chesapeake Bay, with the highest concentrations in heavily agricultural watersheds. The Delmarva Peninsula, which drains into the Chesapeake Bay, is nearly half agriculture by land use. But these high concentrations of urea in agricultural streams, it contradicts a large body of literature which shows that the urea we put on fields as fertilizer or that's present in animal manure is hydrolyzed very rapidly in the soil, breaking down in a matter of days. In fact, runoff and leaching losses of urea tend to be very brief, a week under normal conditions and several weeks max. One watershed study that looked at urea concentrations in low-order streams found that urea actually peaked mid to late summer, weeks to months after when the fertilizer is normally applied. And the highest concentrations were actually in wetland streams rather than agricultural streams. And the highest concentrations were actually in drainage ditches. So we saw these high concentrations in drainage ditches and wetlands. And the best explanation that we had for these very high urea concentrations was that it's some autochthonous process that's happening due to the sediments. So our objective was to assess urea release by these intermittent sediments in an agricultural landscape. We hypothesized that higher urea concentrations would result from sediments from wetlands and drainage ditches and from nitrogen-enriched conditions, as well as higher temperatures. This study was conducted in Somerset County, Maryland, right on the Chesapeake Bay, and we collected sediments from some farm sites, including an agricultural drainage ditch and another agriculture ditch that was cleaned. This means that the sediments were dredged out, so that would have removed all the soil particles and organic matter that accumulates in the bottom of the ditch. We also used sediment from a forest drainage and a wetland that was 9 kilometers east of those farm sites. So these were intermittent sediments. We collected them while they were dry, and we subsampled the sediments to determine what nitrogen was initially present with a potassium chloride extraction. To start the experiment, we placed mesocosms in water baths with 3 temperature treatments, low, medium, and high, and saturated them with either distilled water or nitrogen-enriched solution. And we took surface water samples at time intervals, and we measured the amount of nitrogen in the surface water samples and the sediment with a colorimetric analysis using a Latchett analyzer looking at urea, ammonium, and nitrate. And we replicated this experiment 3 times for statistical comparisons. We wanted to validate some of our results with field sampling, and a storm on the 10th and 11th of August this year filled previously dry drainage ditches, producing conditions analogous to the mesocosm experiment. We got the autosamplers deployed to the drainage ditches 18 hours after the first rainfall started and took water samples at the same time intervals and analyzed them for the same nitrogen species. Here are the results from what nitrogen we found initially present in the sediments by each site we looked at. On the primary axis, you can see urea concentration, and on the secondary axis, the inorganic nitrogen concentration. You'll see that green is urea, which was actually higher in the forest and wetland. Ammonium, the red, was also significantly higher in the forest and wetland. The letters indicate significant differences. And nitrate blue was actually higher in the two drainage ditches. You'll notice that between the two management types of ditches, the nitrogen was actually higher in the unclean ditch. This is because when we remove the sediments from the ditches, it lowers the nitrogen content. Here we can study the effect of site on nitrogen in mesocosm surface water. We can see that over time, the urea concentration was significantly greater in the yellow clean ditch and red unclean ditch mesocosms. So they produced significantly greater urea. Our hypothesis that the wetland would also generate high urea concentrations was not evident from this data. Looking at ammonium, the ammonium was pretty static and the differences were not clear, so it doesn't seem like there was much going on. Nitrate tended to peak at hour 8 of the experiment, so this reflects nitrate initially present in the sediment that diffused into the surface water, in addition to some nitrification. This was rapidly lost between hour 8 and 72 from denitrification and possibly some immobilization. We can also examine the effect of temperature treatment. So we have low, medium, and high temperature treatments. We can see that the red 27 degree temperature treatment resulted in significantly higher urea concentrations. Also, ammonium displayed similar dynamics. This is interesting because ammonium is a breakdown product. When urea is hydrolyzed, you get two molecules of ammonium. So this could be related to the elevated urea concentrations. We also examined the hypothesis that the nitrogen-enriched solution would generate more urea, but we found no evidence of this, so we won't need to discuss that anymore. The nitrate dynamics also were similar to what we saw when we looked at the sediments. There's a clear peak at about hour 8, which rapidly declines. This dynamic is most accentuated at the high-temperature treatment, and the lower-temperature treatments, it's a similar trajectory, but it doesn't quite, it's much slower, basically. So having found that these drainage ditches produce significantly greater urea concentrations, we wanted to see if this was the case in the field. And we found that the results from the indoor experiment were very similar to what we found in the field. There were elevated urea concentrations in several of the ditches we studied, not all, but many. And actually in the red ditch 5, the red line, there were also the very high ammonium concentrations. It seems that the clean ditches, which are represented by the dashed lines, had much higher ammonium concentrations than the unclean ditches. And actually, research on ammonium release from ditch sediments shows that when the ditches are cleaned out, you get a lot of ammonium release to the surface water. So that may be the explanation. Also, nitrate behaved similarly with a peak that was delivered by the rainfall, which was rapidly lost for mostly denitrification, we speculate. So this is a conceptual model for urea cycling in lakes from Bogard and colleagues, and this also applies very well to stagnant drainage ditches. The processes that we're concerned with are highlighted, and I would add to this model atmospheric deposition, which can be an important source of urea. In our indoor mesocosm experiment, we were looking at the concentration of urea in surface water, and we were able to eliminate some of these inputs and sinks. So atmospheric deposition would have been mitigated by the indoor experiment. Also, since we provided our own clean solutions, we know that there was no flow of urea from upstream, so that didn't contribute. Also, this was done in low light conditions, so that was done to control primary productivity and zooplankton grazing. This would have minimized any hydrolysis of urea in the surface water, as well as uptake and regeneration of urea. And an overall low biological activity in the surface water would have minimized any sedimentation. So based on all of those, factors that we minimized, we can say that the urea accumulation in the surface water is from sediment release. And this is actually well characterized in marine and estuarine sediments, but it's not been demonstrated before in freshwater sediments. So it seems that the urea in the water is actually a reflection of active sediment cycling, and it's not that there's some inert pool of urea in the sediments that's simply diffusing into the water. In sediments, bacterial metabolism and decomposition tend to produce urea. This tends to happen in low carbon to nitrogen ratio environments, as well as under warm temperatures. So our working conceptual model is that urea cycles very rapidly in the sediments, and it's lost to the surface water where transformation rates are very low, so it accumulates. In conclusion, we find that this process of sediment release tends to explain high concentrations in ditches, and while fertilizer runoff is not the direct contribution, agriculture does play a role by lowering the carbon to nitrogen ratio. And our concern is that while 9 times out of 10 the ditches dry up before the urea goes anywhere, storm flow could deliver high concentrations downstream and trigger negative changes to phytoplankton communities, including harmful algae blooms. With that, I'd like to thank these individuals.
Thank you.
For algal blooms, I would say I'm more familiar with eukaryotic bacteria, but the one study I'm thinking of that was looking at changes in the phytoplankton community in lakes found that you get changes in the cyanobacteria community because you shift away from the nitrogen-fixing species to the more heterotrophic species. Okay. So it could play a role in those dynamics as well. Yeah, that's a good point, because we would expect overall faster cycling at higher temperatures, because you would expect that, yeah, the transformation rate would increase as well as the cycling rate. So it seems that the accumulation we find in water is because the urea, it's simply being produced at a faster rate and possibly transformed at a faster rate in the sediments, but it's lost to the surface water where transformation rates are probably lower because you have more attractive nitrogen species around for primary producers like ammonium.